Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not used to seeing you this early in the morning, JD. Okay? I can give somebody a coronary, all right?
Yes.
Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. We're going to start the book of Genesis, and because of that, we're going to have a brief introduction. And the book of Genesis, with the other first four books of the Bible, were the author was Moses, okay? They were written approximately in the 15th century B.C. So Genesis was written about 3,500 years ago, all right? But it's best to start, when we're looking at the story of creation, with what the Christian church believes in regards to the creation. And what does the Christian church believe and teach in regards to the creation? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Amen? End of sermon, all right? And I'm not going to give it to you in Spanish, all right? Unless you want to hear it in Spanish, all right? And we go back to Luther's catechism, the small catechism, and I know Kathy and Cindy, you may know this, and Pastor Perry and the other Kathy also, okay? So what does this mean? Answer. I believe that God has created me and all that exists, that He has given me and still sustains my body and soul, all my limbs and senses, my reason, all the faculties of my mind, together with food and clothing, house and home, family and property, that He provides me daily and abundantly with all the necessities of life, protects me from all danger, and preserves me from all evil. All this He does out of His pure, fatherly, and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness on my part. For all of this, I am bound to thank, praise, serve, and obey Him. This is most certainly true. Okay? So that's pretty specific, right? But at the same time, it's pretty vague. So why is the church so specific yet vague in regard to creation? Luther writes in his commentary, "It is clear enough that God has reserved His exalted wisdom and the correct understanding of this chapter for Himself alone. Although He has left us with this general knowledge that the world had a beginning and that it was created by God out of nothing. For apart from the general knowledge that the world had its beginning from nothing, there is hardly anything about which there is common agreement among all theologians, even today." Amen? But today it is of the utmost importance that the church maintains and affirms boldly that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And why? Because the Bible and Christianity is under attack, in case you hadn't noticed, all right? But not all scientists are necessarily enemies of the truth. Walter Bradley, PhD, writes, "I think people who believe that life emerged naturalistically need to have a great more faith than people who reasonably infer that there is an intelligent designer." I believe as we study Genesis, we need to focus on the text and not what our secular culture provides us or proclaims today, because chances are their theories today are going to change tomorrow, all right? And I think we've seen that in our lifetimes. Once again, Luther writes, "If then we do not understand the nature of the days or have no insight into why God wanted to make use of these intervals of time, let us confess our lack of understanding rather than distort the words, contrary to their context, into a foreign meaning." And doesn't that happen a lot today? "Therefore, so far as this opinion of Augustine is concerned, we assert that Moses spoke in the literal sense, not allegorically or figuratively, i.e., that the world with all its creatures was created within 6 days, as the words read. If we do not comprehend the reason for this, let us remain pupils and leave the job of the teacher to the Holy Spirit. However, these days are distinguished in this way. On the first day, the formless mass of heaven and earth was created, to which later on light was added. On the second, the firmament. On the third, the earth with its fruits was brought forth out of the water. On the fourth day, the heavens were adorned by the creation of the sun, moon, and stars. On the fifth, the fishes of the sea and birds of the air. On the sixth, the land animals and man were created. Therefore, disregarding these needless opinions, let us turn to Moses as the better teacher. We can follow him with greater safety than the philosophers who, without benefit of the word, debate about unknown matters." And what we're talking about is unknown things, correct? And I believe this is the best way to approach the book of Genesis. And who are we going to trust? And you can say, well, it's a 3,500-year-old book, and Moses wrote it. Who was Moses? Moses is the guy, remember, who brought the 10 plagues to Egypt and then had the chosen people led them across the Red Sea, divided the Red Sea, and then it closed in on the Egyptians. Then he provided manna from heaven and water from a rock. And then he would meet and talk with God, and he would come out, and his face was so lit up that he had to wear a veil over his face. All right? So who do you want to believe about what God did and who God is? Moses or somebody else? Personally, I'm going to pick Moses. Okay? He saw God. All right? He got a glimpse of God. So when we approach the book of Moses, Pastor Perry and I, we're not going to get into was there a Tower of Babel, was there Noah in the ark, etc. We're just going to preach what the text says. All right? After all, God is too big to define. And an example of God's vastness is in 2 Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And we've been discussing this for quite some time now in the book of Romans on Wednesday in regards to predestination and election. All right? God is infinite. He's all-knowing. And he's all-powerful, right? Now, for example, imagine we're looking at this picture of Jesus, but we can only see this much, okay? Just that much, all right? That's all we can see. Just that much, all right? Would we understand or see the whole thing? No, all right? God sees the big picture. If you're all-knowing and you're infinite, and you're all powerful, is there a past, present, and future? No. There's just one picture, right? And God sees it all. So what does predestination mean to Him? Nothing, right? What's 6 days mean to Him? Nothing, all right? What we have to appreciate is we can't know the how. And we can't know everything about God. But what we can know is God through Jesus Christ. And what's more important? To know God, right? And let the other stuff fall where it will. Now we'll get into the text, all right? And I got to try to keep Leslie awake. She's been up all night at work, okay? And this is from the Message. Eugene Peterson says, first, this, God created the heavens and earth, all you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. Now, you'll notice this morning I'm quoting a lot of Luther, and there's two reasons why I'm doing that. First of all, he has tremendous wisdom, and I like his humility. Because nowadays, it seems like in our postmodern culture, it doesn't matter what the facts are. It's just those who scream the loudest, all right, make it true. Well, Luther, who was brilliant, he translated the Bible, okay, into German from Hebrew, Spanish, and Aramaic, all right? Brilliant theologian. He humbly accepts the Scriptures the way they're written. And I think that's a good lesson for us. Now, in this verse, verses 1 and 2, he writes, indeed, it is the great consensus of the church that the mystery of the Trinity is set forth here. The Father creates heaven and earth out of nothing through the Son, whom Moses calls the Word. Over these, the Holy Spirit broods, and I love this image, as a hen broods her eggs, keeping them warm in order to hatch her chicks, and as it were, to bring them to life through heat. So Scripture says that the Holy Spirit brooded, as it were, on the waters to bring to life those substances which were to be quickened and adorned. For it is the office of the Holy Spirit to make alive. And in the Nicene Creed, what do we call the Holy Spirit? The giver of life, right? Is the Spirit still giving life today? Absolutely. And hopefully He gives life on Sundays here, all right? and on Wednesdays, and on Tuesdays, and Mondays, all right? So that covers the Holy Spirit. That's in the first two verses. In regards to the Word, this Word is God. It is the omnipotent Word uttered in the divine essence. No one heard it spoken except God Himself. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when it was spoken, light was brought into existence. Not out of the matter of the Word or from the nature of Him who spoke it, but out of the darkness itself. Thus the Father spoke inwardly and outwardly, light was made and came into existence immediately. In this manner, other creatures too were made later. This, I say, is sufficient knowledge for us concerning the manner of creation. Period. Okay? Do we need to know any more? No. Another PhD, John Horgan, writes, science, you might say, and he's a lapsed Catholic, by the way. I'm not sure what a lapsed Catholic is, but anyway, he is one. He's not attending church, obviously. But he says, science, you might say, has discovered that our existence is infinitely improbable, and hence a miracle. And I agree. God's creation is a miracle. We can't explain it. To this day, no one can explain how everything was created. To this day, a scientist cannot create one cell. Because the cell is that involved. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Verse 26 and 28. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. Did you notice the use of the plural? Why? Father, Son, and did Moses know that when he was writing? I'm not sure. You know, it hadn't been revealed. Okay. The Trinity hadn't been revealed. But he also uses the word Elohim, which is, he uses Elohim and Yahweh. And Elohim is plural for gods. But obviously he believed God is one, all right? So he was talking about something he didn't completely understand. But once again, can we completely understand God? No. And thanks be to God. It wouldn't be much of a God if we could fully understand Him, correct? Luther writes once again, "The word 'let us make' is aimed at making sure the mystery of our faith, by which we believe that from eternity there is one God and there are three separate persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And the Trinity is a mystery, folks. The God we worship is a mystery, all right? We need to understand that. John chapter 1. Well, hold it. First of all, the Spirit is mentioned in verse 2. Here the eternal Son of God is named in the words, "He spoke." John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." John wrote this pertaining to Jesus, all right? Do you notice the similarities? Okay. What he's saying is that Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, was there at creation. And that's who we believe in. And it still blows me away how people throw his name around. Okay? He's the incarnate Word from the beginning of all time, right? And it's okay for us to say Jesus, but don't use the F word or some other word, okay? His name is holy. His name is holy, right? And I'm going to talk about holiness in a minute. Once again, Luther writes, "Whoever desires to be saved and to be safe when he deals with such great matters, let him simply hold to the form, the signs, and the coverings of the Godhead, such as His Word, which we're studying now, and His works, His creation. For in His Word and His works He shows Himself to us. Those who are in touch with these are made sound." Since he argues his position, then he goes on to say, for those who don't use His Word and works, "since he argues his position apart from and without the Word of God, and relies on his thinking alone, he cannot avoid falling into error. So we need the Word of God in order to understand the works. In our postmodern world, though, this seems simple. And once again, the fact that it was written 3,500 years ago, instead of making it valuable, it makes it sound cheap to people. In our society, we want an explanation for everything, right? We want an explanation for why this works, how this works, and that's fine. It's good because great discoveries were made that way. But can we explain creation, let alone who God is? No, we can't explain creation or God, right? Lee Strobel, in his book, The Case for a Creator, writes about an interview he had with J.P. Moreland, Ph.D. And it goes, the conversation goes this way: "But J.P., aren't you asking scientists to do the unthinkable, to ignore scientific knowledge?" J.P. replies, "No, not at all," he insists. "I'm only asking that they become willing to listen to all the evidence and see where it leads," which is what the quest of truth should be about. And if they do that, they will come to believe in the reality of the soul and the immaterial nature of consciousness. And this could open them up personally to something even more important, to a much larger mind with capital M and a much bigger consciousness with a capital C, who in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, who made us in His image. So look at all the evidence, which would also include the works of Moses, all right? "Once again, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And we can stand on that. Verse 31, "God looked over everything He had made, and it was so good, so very good." I like the way he put that. "It was so good, so very good." And he's talking about us, by the way. Everything else is good, but we are very good, all right? Three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, consult about it and concur in it because man, when he was made, was to be dedicated and devoted to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is Matthew Henry, by the way. "Into that great name we are with good reason baptized, for to that great name we owe our being. Let him rule man who said, 'Let us make man.' But it is the soul, the great soul of man, that does especially bear God's image. The soul is a spirit, an intelligent, immortal spirit, an influencing active spirit, herein resembling God the Father of spirits and the soul of the world. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The soul of man, considered in its three noble faculties, understanding, will, and active power, is perhaps the brightest, clearest looking glass in nature wherein to see God." The fact that we have a soul, we can see God. And we can see, we say we see Christ in each other. You see what he's talking about? Okay. We can see God in each other. And yes, we can see God in creation. But doesn't God really make himself best known when we see him in other people, taking action in other people? When somebody loves us, right? We know it's from God. When somebody does remarkable things and is generous and merciful, we see God, right? Amen? Now, in regards to this very good thing, have you ever felt worthless? Like you are just taking up space and there's no reason or purpose for your life? I felt that way before, okay? I think we all have, right? These are the lies of Satan. These are the lies of Satan. Brothers and sisters, you were created in the image of God. If you don't take anything else home with you today, take that, okay? You were created in the image of God. I am created in God's image. I am a child of God. I have great value. God has made me for a specific reason and purpose that no one else is qualified to fulfill. I am very good. That's what God's Word says when we were created, right? Amen? And now I want us all to read that and read it slowly. I am created in God's image. I am a child of God. I have great value. God has made me for a specific reason and purpose that no one else is qualified to fulfill. I am very good. Say that again. I am very good. Amen. And you have God's word on that. And this God wants to live in an intimate relationship with us, just like He did with Adam and Eve. And I'm going to use an image that I use a lot. This is God and this is us, okay? In the beginning, when He created Adam and Eve, the relationship was like this. And next week we're going to see that He walked in the garden with them and had communion with them. And this is all God ever wanted, was to live in this communion with us, all right? And the story will continue next week. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. By the seventh day, God had finished His work. On the seventh day, He rested from all His work. God blessed the seventh day. He made it a holy day because on that day, He rested from His work, all the creating God had done. Question, does God get tired? No. Does God need rest? No. Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary in His understanding. No one can fathom. John chapter 5, Jesus said to them, My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. Well, if God wasn't tired and He didn't need rest, why did He create the Sabbath? Exactly, that's what Jesus said. Mark chapter 2. Then Jesus said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath day a day of rest for us. But most importantly, the Sabbath day is a holy day. And what does holy mean? It means set aside for God's purpose. So we get Sundays off, okay, to set it aside for God's purpose. And what has our culture turned it into? Well, it's a day of rest. I'm not going to get up and go to church. I'm going to watch football. Or I'm going to watch golf. And I think you all know how I feel about watching golf, right? Okay. It's like watching paint dry on the wall, all right? But what was the day created for, though? It was created as a holy day set apart for God when we realize the communion we have in God and Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that, okay? Pastor, how many times do people say after service, Pastor, I feel so good whenever I come to church, right? Yeah. And then we don't see him for 2 months, okay? That's not us, okay? When you come here, you celebrate that communion you have with God, right? And you know He's real. And you know that you are very good and He loves you, right? And that's what Sundays is supposed to be about, all right? I had a conversation with my daughter-in-law, Veronica, and we were talking about church, and she said, you know, when I first got in the family, going to church was really hard to do because you get there and it's boring and you just, you know, you don't get used to it. But she said, now, she said, you got to go, and once you go, then you realize, and you want to go to church, okay? You want to be here. And once again, it's not because the pastors, it's not because of our wonderful music group, okay? The sermons are brilliant, okay, but it's not the brilliant sermons. You come here because you experience the presence of God, right? And that's worth missing a football game, right? What's that? Or some sleep, yeah. And Leslie, you've stayed awake, all right? All right. God bless you, hon, okay? So today's the day we celebrate communion. And Luther in the Small Catechism said, for all of this, all that stuff God gave us, okay, and He gives us so much, I am bound to thank, praise, and serve, and obey Him. This is what he's talking about, okay? So, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And when people want to talk about the other stuff, because what they're going to say is, you believe God created the world in 6 days? Just say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Okay? And if they're wise enough to know how God created the world and how long it took, then God bless them. All right? But I'm comfortable living with the mystery. Okay? I'm also very comfortable knowing that when God created us, He said, "You are very good." Amen?
Amen.
So let us pray. Lord God, You are a mystery to us, but we know You. Through Jesus Christ, we know You. We know that You live in us. We know that You work through us, Lord. And who are we that You, the King of Kings, the King of the universe, should dwell in us, Lord? Lord, we confess we don't know everything about You. But we thank You that we know You. And help us to know You better. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.